To speak to you on the subject, maybe a lot of us love sleep. Sleepy and sleeping Christians, which I hope you are not. Okay. Well, the passage that we have read in Matthew chapter 26, the Lord Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to be crucified, he was going to die. But somehow or other, it did not get into their head, like most of us. Sometimes we hear the word of God, it simply cannot get in because maybe we shut our mind to the word of God. You know, I hope not. I hope before you, this morning before you came, you pray that the Lord will open your mind to hear the word of God, okay? And not resist and shut your mind and your heart and block out the will of God. It would be very sad if you are a child of God. Okay? If you are not a child of God, I hope you will hear the word of God and come to realize that Jesus loves you and he wants to save you from your sins and that he wants to write your name in the book of life. And you can enter heaven only through him, not by good works and so on. So he took them to the garden, in fact, all of them, but only three of them were privileged to go with him further into the garden. So the Lord maybe thought he could trust them, right? Peter, John, and James. Asked them, you wait here and watch with me while I go yonder to pray. So he went and he prayed. Told the dad or the Heavenly Father, if it's your will, let the cup be passed from me. He knew the agony that he was going to suffer on the cross because of his great love for you and me and the lost mankind. And when he came, he found them sleeping. And so he asked Peter, what? Can you not watch with me 1 hour? And he went again, the second time he prayed, and when he came back, he found them sleeping. Because the Bible says their eyes were heavy. I hope you had a good sleep last night. And you are here that your eyes are not heavy. Okay? And thank God, your eyes are not heavy, I can see that. Because I changed my glasses this morning, I can see very clearly. Okay? And so he went and prayed, and the third time he came back and he said, okay, now you sleep on and take your rest. Okay, behold, the hour is at hand. The person who betrayed me is here. And true enough, Judas came with the whole crowd. Okay? And they took the Lord. Okay? And Peter maybe woke up from sleep. He saw that his master was being taken. He drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. The Lord told him, put up your sword. He that live by the sword will die by the sword. So as Christian, we are not asked to use violence, even though people may treat us badly. We just commit everything to God. He will take care of us. Right, let us commit this time to God and ask the Lord to open our mind to his word. Let us pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, our hearts are truly thankful unto thee for thy great love towards us. Thank you, you loved us and you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins even before we knew you. We are your enemies. But we thank you, you love us so much that you want us to become your children. We thank you, Lord, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work, his death, his resurrection, his shed blood, his righteousness, we are thy children indeed. Lord, we pray as we come and worship thee, open our understanding of thy truth as found in thy word. Speak to us. We need thee, Lord. We need thee to feed us, for without thy feeding, we will wither and die away. We pray for those in our midst who are hearing a word for the very first time, that thou open their understanding, anoint their eyes, that they may behold wondrous truth of thy law. Help thy most unworthy servant as he shares thy word, that thou empty him of all his self, and fill him with thy spirit that he may be used for thy own honor and glory. Bless the preaching and hearing of thy precious word for thy own name's sake and for thy glory's sake. We thank you and pray in us all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Now, sleep is a very interesting topic in the Bible. Okay? There are lots of things that God has to say about sleep. Okay? And I don't think I can tell you everything there is to tell, but I will tell you what the Lord has put in my heart, which may be important to you. Okay? So let's look at sleep. Okay? Literal sleep. Adam was the first man to be mentioned concerning sleep, because he was the first man anyway. So God need to give him a helpmate. He was alone. So God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. And then God took out a rib and he made a woman out of the rib. And he brought it to man. Okay? So Genesis chapter 2 verse 21 talks about Adam falling into sleep. Okay? And then in chapter 28, verse 11, we have this man called Jacob. He ran away from his brother and he went to a place. Then he saw it was a nice place. He took a stone and he slept, okay? And he dreamt about heaven. He saw a ladder going up and angels ascending and descending upon the ladder. Then you have Jonah, okay, we all know him, and he could sleep in a storm, okay, when the ship was really tossed around, okay, and he was fast asleep. Sometimes we can't sleep like that, you know. Okay. Sometimes if our conscience is dead to God, we can sleep. Okay. If your conscience is disturbing you, you can't sleep. You know? You toss and turn and you try and go to sleep, but you can't. Okay? But Jonah could, okay, because he just shut out everything of God. God told him to go to Nineveh. He went the other opposite way. He wanted to go to Tarshish. So God had to send a storm. But he could sleep. Okay? And then we found Jesus sleeping, okay, the Son of God. He is tired. He's man here. Okay? Man, the very man, and yet God, the very God. Mark 4, verse 38. Okay? Sleeping on the boat, and then there was a storm. The water was coming in. The disciples all panicked. Okay? And they went to him and woke him up and said, Master, okay, care us not, thou art not us. The boat is sinking. We're going to die. Okay? So Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind and the storm, and it became a calm, and they were so shocked and surprised and asked themselves, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Okay. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. We sing the song right from kindergarten right up to now. Okay. But I want to tell you, sometimes if you sit in a boat where you find a storm, I don't think you remember the words. You hold on to the boat for dear life, you know. Okay. You see, a long time ago, my mother and me, we won a prize to go to New Zealand. And there's a funny little place called a hole in the rock. I don't know whether you heard of it. It's a big rock, actually, but there's a hole inside this rock. And it's far out in the ocean, you know. And you have to take a boat in order to go there and see. I don't know what's so special about that. But people say, don't miss it if you ever go to New Zealand. So, you know, like a good tourist, we don't want to miss it. We went. I tell you, right in the middle of the sea, the storm came. Not even a storm. It was just a rough wave, you know. The boat went up, it went down, it went up, it went down. And I was thinking, how could Jonah ever sleep, you know? I forgot. I wish I could have sung, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. I tell you, my face was turning green and was holding the boat for dear life. I said, Lord, please don't let the boat sink, I can't swim. That's what I was praying. It was really rough. I don't blame the disciples, you know. Sometimes it's easy. Wow, why they are so cowardly and so on and on. Until we put ourselves in that position, then we understand what they're going through. Okay. So, but the Lord slept. Okay. The Lord knew that it wasn't time for him to go. Right? His hour wasn't at hand. So he slept. He was tired. Okay. Then we have this man, a young man called Eutychus, as found in Acts chapter 20, verse 9. Okay. He slept in the service. Okay. Please don't sleep, because the next thing may keep you alert. He fell and died. Serious. Okay. Acts 20, because Paul was preaching for a long time. It was very late, and this guy was sitting somewhere in a high place, and he fell, and he died, you know. And Paul said, no, he's not dead, he's just... So Paul awakened him, make him become alive again. Okay. Don't fall asleep during sermon. You can die. But you say, well, you know, the place is so low, okay? You can never tell, you can die of heart attack, you know. So pay attention, keep awake when you come to worship God. He doesn't want you to die in His presence like that. Okay? Now, sleep can also mean a symbol of laziness. Okay? Like in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 4 to 11, talks about the sluggard, which is repeated again in chapter Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Okay? Please write it down, okay? Don't check, because you can go home and check, because there are lots of references. Okay. This is a symbol of laziness. Talks about a sluggard, okay, that sleeps. And the book of Proverbs has many things to say about a sluggard. Okay? When a sluggard sleeps, he gives an excuse that there's a lion in the street. He doesn't want to get up. Okay? Can you imagine giving that kind of excuse? Sometimes when you are lazy, you think of any excuse that comes to your mind, you know. Okay? Like, remember sometimes ago, when the teacher asked the boy, where's your homework? He said, my dog ate up my homework. See, sometimes you can come up with funny and weird answers. Okay? I don't know whether you know this word, clinomania. C-L-I-N-O-M-A-N-I-A, clinomania. Okay? Actually, a sluggard is a clinomania, which means excessive desire to stay in bed. He wants to stay in bed all the time. Okay? Doesn't want to get up. The sluggard is like that, like a door that turns on its hinge, the Bible says. So is a sluggard upon his bed, you know. Don't be a sluggard. Sleep can also mean utter and final punishment and destruction of a wicked power that has stood in opposition to God, like the destruction of Babylon, as recorded by Jeremiah in chapter 51, verses 37 to 39. Sleep can also mean spiritual apathy or ungodly lifestyle. Okay? Romans 13, 11 to 14. Sleep can also mean being unprepared to meet the Lord. As found in Mark chapter 13, verses 35 and 36, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 to 6. Okay? Sleep can also be used commonly used as a destination for death, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? Like Psalms 13, verse 3, David said, okay, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And in John chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus told the disciples, Lazarus sleepeth. So the disciples said, if he sleeps, that means he's well. Okay? So in verse 14 of John 11, Jesus said, no, Lazarus is dead. So sleep is a connotation of death. Just like Jairus' daughter, as mentioned in the three Gospels. Okay? Chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 24. Chapter 5 of Mark, verse 39. And chapter 8 of Luke, verse 52. When Jairus' daughter died, okay? The Lord went there and said, told the parents, okay, be not afraid, only believe. And when he went in, he told the people, the damsel is not dead, but asleep. And everybody laughed at him, scorned at him, and so on and so forth. Okay? They think they knew better than the Lord. But the Lord proved himself right. Okay? He raised up Jairus' daughter from her sleep. Okay? And it also talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, those that are asleep in Christ, those who have died in Christ will rise again one day, God says. Okay. Daniel also says, they that sleep in the dust shall be awakened. Jesus himself said, okay, when they hear my voice, those in the grave, they will be alive again. Okay. So in fact, actually, no one dies. Everyone will become alive, even if you are not a Christian. Resurrection is not only for Christians, it's for everybody. The only difference is that the Christians are resurrected to life everlasting, whereas the non-Christians are resurrected to eternal damnation, which is scary. There's no escape. Okay? You can't escape the great white throne judgment if you are not a child of God. Okay? When a person is asleep, he does not know what is going on around him, right? Sometimes when we sleep, you know, the family can be watching TV. We don't know. We are sleeping. Maybe they can create havoc. You also don't know. When a person grows sleepy, he becomes unconcerned with what is going on around him. So if a Christian is sleepy, okay, he won't come for prayer meeting. He's not concerned about prayer meeting. He's not concerned about tracting, witnessing, Bible study, and so on. Okay? He's sleepy. He has no time for this. Okay? So, don't be sleepy. Okay? Take an interest in the things of God. Okay? Because Ian Paisley, the great Irish preacher and MP, he just passed away very recently. He said this. He said the Church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping. Like a great bedroom. And you have all the Christians in bed, and they are all sleeping, and they are saying, please don't wake me up. I want to sleep on. I hope this church is not described as that by Dr. Paisley. Okay? I hope you are not sleeping. Okay? When there's activity, I hope you are involved. Okay? I thank God that this morning you came for the prayer meeting. You make time to come. Okay? It takes sacrifice. Okay? Maybe you sleep less on Sunday morning and you come to the house of God to prepare yourself to worship God. Okay? That's good. Okay? How blessed it is and how wonderful that would be if the whole church would come like that. You know, I believe it's the pastor's desire, every pastor's desire, that the church is a praying church. Okay? They sleep less, they wake up early, and they make time for God. They will ask God to bless them, okay? And you will be blessed. I believe with all my heart that those who came early for prayer meeting, for singing, yeah, you will be blessed. Because you honor the Lord will honor you. This is his promise. Okay? So love the house of God. come early to pray together and to be blessed of God. Okay. I hope this church is not a sleeping church, and the Christians are not sleepy Christians, and they will not love sleep. Sleep is important, yes. Okay. But according to some scientists who study sleep, he says actually when we sleep, we gain nothing worthwhile. I don't think that's true. When you sleep, actually your body rejuvenates, you know. Okay? It re-energizes. Okay? You get energy for work. Okay? So you need sleep. But the problem is, right, don't oversleep, you know. Okay? Right. And oversleep, let me ask you a question. Do you know why tall people are lazier than short people? Ha ha ha. Good, huh? Not like that. Like that, I'm lazy. Like that, I'm not lazy. You know why? Why tall people are lazier than short people? You don't know. This is not an insult to tall people. I don't want you to go home and cut your legs or whatever and reduce your height and all that. Because you lie longer in bed. You lie longer in bed. No, we short people take, not, we don't lie so long, right? Anyway, that's a play on words, okay? I hope you're not like that, lah. Okay. But there are some people, when they wake up, they just refuse to wake up, you know? They set the alarm rings, they press off the alarm rings again, they press off the alarm. See, if you don't want the alarm to ring, don't set the alarm, right? Why you set the alarm and then you stop the alarm? If you don't want to get up, just sleep on, you know. But you're afraid that you might be late for work, you might be late for service and so on. So you set the alarm. Okay? And then maybe you say 5 minutes more, 5 minutes more, 5 minutes more. Okay? There's always 5 minutes more, I don't know why. But when you come to read the Bible, you don't say 5 minutes more, right? Do you? You finish? Oh, I'm finished. I'm so happy I finished. I don't even say 5 minutes more, Lord. I want to read your words for 5 minutes more. Okay? We don't. Why? That's where our heart is, you see. That's where our attitude is, you see. That we love physical things more than we love spiritual things. Okay? Some people sleep more than others because of the body. Because maybe they are sick. Maybe they are more tired. But I do not know about you. But I feel that when you grow older, you sleep less. I'm not sure. Is it true? I don't know. Okay. I find myself don't sleep much. I don't know. Okay. But God is good. Okay. He gives grace to us to go through. See? Because our life is in God's hand. God will take care of us. Okay. So if you don't want to sleep less, then you get up earlier, you find that you have more time for God. You know, in a quiet morning when everybody's asleep, you take out your Bible, you read, and God speaks to you, and you pray, and you speak to God. That is a wonderful time, you know, which you find now very difficult to have because life is actually very stressful. You wake up, you rush to work, you come back, you rush to your dinner, you know, you rush through everything, you don't have time. And in the night when you read, your eyes are heavy. You know, sleeping Christian, the only sleeping Christian in the church, one thing good is that they all agree with the speaker. Right? Speaker say anything? Yes. Yeah. You know, they keep on nodding because they are sleepy. Those people who are alert know, they check and see whether what the speaker is saying is true or not. They go home and check like the Bereans. Okay? But if you are sleeping, everything is okay to you. You accept everything. You know. That's why a lot of people, they sleep in church, they are not blessed. Then they blame the speaker. He's very boring. The message is very dull. I've heard that before. And so on. But they never blame themselves. They never ask God, keep me awake during the service. because I want to hear your word. I want to be fed by you. Okay? So it's the attitude of the heart. Right? Don't fall asleep when you come to the house of God. You'll never be blessed. Okay? Why? Okay? Christians ought to be awake. The church needs to wake up and be revived. Okay? Because maybe of the church prayerlessness. If the church is not growing, the church is not prayerful. Because when you pray, you are actually getting power from God. You're asking God to help you in your work, in your ministry, in your service for Him. If you don't pray, you are telling yourself, I am self-sufficient. I don't have to ask God. My church is growing. Okay? Yes, numbers does not mean that the church is revived. Mega churches, lots of people, maybe 3/4 of them are not safe. They are there because of friends, maybe because of business connection, because of curiosity. Okay? If your church is growing, if it's a fundamental church, God is at work. You are praying. You're asking Lord to send people to your church. Okay? Like the book of Acts. Okay? God added to the church daily such as ought to be saved. Okay? You have concern for the lost. You pray. Okay? So if the church is sleeping, he will not pray. He will not ask God for help. Okay? Then maybe because the church is fearful and timid. Okay? Yeah. We thank God that LGBT is not so great a problem here, but it's getting momentum. Okay? Now the crowd is swelling and they are becoming more bold. Okay? Last time we never hear of them having open parade and so on. Now they are having it, you know. Okay? And some of them even challenge the government about the gay laws. They want it to be abolished. Okay? And thank God our government so far has stood firm and said, no, we don't know what is going to happen, so we need to pray. Okay? Our church need to be fearless on standing with God on His word. We should not let ungodly crowd come into our shores and dictate how Christians ought to live. America is having it now. All over, gay laws is passed, and it is an offense. Okay? If you do not serve them. See, if you are a baker, they want to get married and ask you to bake a cake, you say no. You can be put into jail, you know. Yeah? Your company can be closed down and so on and so forth. Okay? So America has turned away from God, okay? And now has accepted, we don't know what way that is, not even the way of the world. Maybe it's a devilish way. Okay? So we need to pray that our church will be fearless, will not be timid, will not be intimidated by the crowd. And how to do that? We have to keep in close communion with God and pray. Okay? Maybe because of unbelief and faithlessness. Sometimes in our crowd, there are people who don't believe. Not everybody who comes to church is truly born again. We have to know that. Even Jesus himself told the parable of the mustard seed that grew into a great tree. And then he said, the fowls of the air lodge in the branches thereof. And in the first parable, the fowls of the air came and snatched away the seed that fell on the wayside. This fowl of the air is the same fowl of the air in the great mustard seed tree. Okay? And maybe they are in our midst, fowls of the air here. I hope not. I hope everyone here is a born-again Christian. Not I think so I'm a Christian. I hope so I'm a Christian. Not even I believe so, you know, because your belief can change. You feel good, I'm a Christian. You don't feel good, I don't think I'm a Christian, you know. You have to be sure, very sure. You have to be very certain you are a child of God. no matter what happens. Okay? Even though God never answers any of your prayers, you say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. Okay? If your life can be so bad, you know, everything is against you, you can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, God will take care of me. He knows what is best for me. Sometimes people say, if God is so good to me, why he give me cancer? If so, God is so good to me, why he give me heart problem? If so, God is so good to me, why doesn't it make me rich? And so on and so forth. God is good to you, that's why he give you cancer. Because it is for his glory and his honor. You know, God never sends pain anyhow. Because he knows those people who can take pain and bear pain, you know, he knows who they are. They are special people. They need special grace from God. Okay? So if you are the one who is suffering from cancer, you are special to God. He watches over you. He takes care of you. He provides all your needs. He comforts you. He never leaves you. You can be assured of that. Don't ever ask him, why God, why you gave me cancer if you love me so much? Why you make me poor, God, if you love me? Why can't I be rich and enjoy my life? God knows if he makes you rich, you'll forget him, you know. If he makes you poor, you have to depend on him, you see. He knows what he's doing. So listen and don't fall asleep, or you miss God's blessing. Don't have unbelief. Don't be faithless. Okay? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder unto them that seek him. Maybe the church is carnal and worldly. Think of worldly things more than you think of spiritual things. Okay? Maybe you yourself, as a child of God, okay, spend more time thinking of the worldly stuff. Okay? You know, now our Malaysian neighbor is having a lot of problems. Yeah? Maybe we are more concerned about them, you know, than about our servings to God. Okay? Yes, you can be concerned, okay? But don't put spiritual things under physical things. You must put God above all. He must have first preference in our life, in our service, in our thought, in what we do. That's why Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Maybe because of selfishness, self-interest, self-centeredness. Sometimes we can become like that. Okay? So well off, God bless us so much, we become so self-centered. See, God bless me. See, why? God never bless you. See, it's just like the story of a man, two men, you know, in shipwreck. One of them swam to an island. So they say, okay, let's divide this island into two. You stay one side, I stay one side. Okay? So the other man agreed, drew line. Say, okay, we pray and see if God answers our prayer. That means, God loves us. So this man prayed, and God answered all his prayers. He prayed for food, God gave him food. He want a house, and God sent some woods and everything, he built a house. Okay? Then in the end, he want a wife. He got a wife. God make another shipwreck there, and one lady swam ashore. And this lady swam to his side. So he got a wife. So he was very happy. He got everything he needed. So he said, Lord, now send me a boat. I want to get off this island. So God sent him a boat. He was so glad. Then he went off the boat and God said, hey, don't forget the other man. He turned around and said, God, what did the other man do? Look at his side. No trees, no food, nothing, no house, no wife, no boat. God said, if not for that man who prays for you, you will get nothing. He prays that every one of your prayer will be answered by me, God says. hey, do we pray like that? That all our prayers, not for ourselves, but for other people? If you don't come for prayer meeting, you owe people a great debt, you know. How your parents got saved, people are praying for them. You have to come back and pray and return the prayer debt that you owe. Pray for other people's loved one to get saved. Don't say, oh, all my family is saved, my parents are saved, everybody's going to heaven, I'm so happy. Look around, what about the others whose parents are still not saved? Aren't you concerned for them? You turn around and say, oh, it's not my business. My family is my family. His family is his family, you know. Okay? We become so selfish sometimes. Are we like that? I hope not. Okay? I hope we are not that selfish. Come and pray for other people. Pray for God's servant. Pray for other people in other country. Pray for the Christians who are suffering. Well, we have good life here. Don't let the good life make you so comfortable that you forget those people are suffering. Okay? Remember them. Okay? Don't have all the self-interest, self-centeredness, and all the selfishness. Maybe we are disobedient. Sometimes the church can be disobedient. Don't want to hear the word of God. You know. Sometimes, maybe some pastors, they don't want to preach the word of God. They want to preach their own sermon. Use their own wisdom to sway the people, you know, to come to God. You can't. You want to come to God, you must come to God through His word. Okay? The wisdom of the world can bring people into the church, but you will not keep them in the church. Okay? You can bring things to entertain them, but when they are tired of that entertainment, they leave. They look for other things to entertain them. We don't use method, we use the message. People who love the word of God will be attracted to the message, not the method. Okay? Don't use method to draw the crowd into the church. Use the message, the word of God. Okay? So don't disobey the word of God. Preach the word of God. Be constant in seasons and out of season. Okay? Don't be unfaithful. Okay? Be faithful to God and His word and His truth. Yes, you preach, people may hate you. We are accountable to God. That's it. Dr. Bob once said, a preacher should distress all those that are comfortable and comfort those that are distressed. I hope the word of God, if you are comfortable, distress you. Then you know something is not right. You have to come back to God. And you are distressed, I hope the word of God will comfort you, to know that He's the source of all comfort. Maybe there's lukewarmness and complacency in the church. That's why the church needs to wake up to see all these things. Lukewarmness is something that is not noticeable easily. Other spiritual health problems you can see, you know, like malice, envy, anger, lying, all this you can see. But lukewarmness you can't see. Maybe you think you're right with God, but you're actually lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3. God says you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth because you are of no use to me. Cold is to refresh, warm is to heal. And God says you neither refresh nor heal. So you are useless. I will spew you out. I hope this church is not in this sort of state. And I pray that God's church, they're all true to Him, will not be found in such a state. And who's the church? The people in the church. Not the building, you know. You are the church. I pray to God you're not lukewarm, but you are hot for Him. Or cold to refresh. Cold is not something that we think in a negative sense, you know. Okay? Or when you're cold, you're not interested, you're disinterested, you have no love. No, it's not. Okay? It's to refresh. Remember, the book of Proverbs says, cold water will refresh a soul. Yeah. Okay? So the church needs to wake up. Okay. And when we sleep, like I said just now, okay, you gain nothing spiritual. Because Isaiah chapter 29 verse 8 tells us this. He says, a hungry man, when he sleeps, he dreams that he eats and is full. And when he wakes up, he still feels hungry. Why? Because it's just a dream. He said, a thirsty man, he dreams that he drank something and quenches his thirst. But when he gets up, he still feels thirsty. Why? Because it's a dream. Now we can sleep and dream about many things, right? We can dream, wow, we are a great soul winner, you know. Every time we go out, give track, people will believe, accept Jesus Christ. When we wake up, we find that, hey, I'm still the same old person. The one to go tracking, you know. So dreams are not real, although it seems so real. The dream world seems so real, but it's not real at all sometimes. Okay? So don't dream. Okay? Don't sleep so much, because you need to sleep in order to dream, you see. Okay? Some people just cannot sleep. The Bible says some won't sleep until they do something mischievous. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Proverbs 4, verse 16. Okay? Their sleep is not taken away until they do something mischievous. But there are some people who can't sleep because of problems. Like King Darius. Okay? He signed a decree. Then he realized his mistake. Because that decree put Daniel into trouble. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And King Darius loved Daniel because Daniel has proved himself to be very capable. Right? The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, sleep left him. Okay? I hope sleep will leave us, you know, sometimes, that we cannot sleep when we realize that, hey, I have not really done my devotion, you know. Hey, I have not read my Bible. Hey, I have not written this letter that I should have written. Maybe to encourage somebody in the church. You know? Hey, I have not given, I have not made a phone call to this brother. I think I need to make it. Okay? You're so troubled, you can't sleep. Okay? I hope you're troubled like that, you know. And not because you get insomnia. Okay? Now the question is, can Christians get insomnia? That's a good question. I cannot answer the question. Okay? But I believe, that's my belief, okay, that I don't think Christians should get insomnia. Because the Bible says what? I lay me down in peace and sleep. I awake, for the Lord sustain me. Okay? If you trust God, follow His way, do what He says, I think your sleep will be sweet, you know. Okay. And do you know something? God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. That's what the psalm says, right? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Okay. Nobody can accuse God of sleeping. Okay. But Elijah did accuse Baal of sleeping. He challenged the prophets of Baal, remember? At Mount Carmel, and he told the prophet, since there are so many, you go first, okay? You call upon your God. And so, after so long, no answer, no fire from heaven, so Elijah said, hey, maybe your God went for a journey. Hey, maybe he's sleeping, he needs to be awake, you know. If a God sleeps, then he's not a God, right? He cannot watch over you. We sing the song, My God Watches Over Me. Okay? He watches over the sparrows. Okay? So if God is sleeping, how can He watch over you? He can't. And we thank God that God doesn't sleep, although He gives sleep to man. Okay? So we need to get up. Why Christians must be awake? Because the Lord is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. And chapter 24, verse 42, the Lord is coming back. Jesus says, watch and pray, because you don't know when, at which hour the Lord is coming. So don't sleep. When the Lord comes, found you sleeping, then you'll be ashamed to face Him. The harvest is ripe. Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 35, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields. The harvest is already white unto harvest. The field is already white unto harvest. Okay? There are lots of souls out there to be reaped for God's kingdom. Are we sleeping? If we sleep, then Proverbs 10:5 tells us, he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Now it's harvest time, you know. And thirdly, is war. And the enemy is wide awake. Jesus told the parable of the wheat and tares. He says, when men sleep, the enemy sow tares among the wheats. See, if Christians sleep, the enemies work. Okay. And also, he says this, okay, in the hymn, Hold the Fort. You know this hymn, Hold the Fort? One stanza says, see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Satan is leading his host, okay, attacking the Christians, the church. If the church is sleeping, it's going to be a right target for him, because he can send infiltrators into the church. Okay? He'll lead the church in the wrong path, down the wrong way, and very soon the church compromises, and then it becomes a worldly church. And it's useless to God if the church is worldly. Okay? The church cannot win souls for God, because it will use a worldly method, okay, which is not God's way. And the Bible also tells us in the book of Job, God asked Job, where do you go? He said, I walk up and down the earth. Twice he said that, Job 1:7 and Job 2:2. Okay? He's very busy. Are we busy for God? The devil is a very busy person. Okay? And then also we are watchmen, placed by the Lord on the walls to give warning to people. Ezekiel chapter 33, the watchman. Remember the Lord said, what does he do? He stands there and he sees whether the sword is coming. If the sword is coming, you don't warn the wicked of their way. If the wicked perish, God says, his blood will I require at your hand. If the righteous, if the wicked hears the word of God, repent, doesn't, you know, do anything, maybe he still died, then the Lord said, then his blood will I not require, because you already warned him. Okay? Right. I want to tell you a little story. There was a watchman employed by a big company. And this watchman's dream, he can interpret dreams, okay? And he also can dream. And his dream always comes true, you know? So one night he dreamt about his boss, in a plane that his boss was traveling. And he dreamt that the plane crashed and everybody got killed. So he was very concerned for his boss. He went to tell the boss, boss, don't ever take this plane because it's going to crash. Everybody's going to die. And somehow the boss believed him, you know? So the boss wrote him a check and said, thank you very much. Don't come to work anymore. He was so surprised, you know. I just warn you, you know. I mean, I saved your life, you know. Why are you so ungrateful to me? Why did the boss sack him? Can you think of the reason why? If you were the boss, would you sack him? No, because you're too kind-hearted. Maybe you'll give him a reward, right? The boss sacked him. Why? Hey, he's supposed to be a watchman. If he dreams, that means he sleeps, right? Can you dream with your eyes wide open? You can. Marvelous. I salute you. Nobody can dream. Only people who sleep then can dream, right? The boss employed him as a watchman, you know. Why is he dreaming? That means he's not watching. Okay? Yes, he saved the boss' life. But the boss is not happy with him. Okay? Because he's not doing his job. God makes us watchmen over our neighbors, over our friends, over our colleagues, okay? Over our loved ones who are not safe. Are we doing our job, sharing the gospel with them, living a Christian life before them, so that they can see our good examples and know that we are different from other people? Okay. Yes, sleep. You want to sleep? Yes. You need sleep? Yes. But don't oversleep. Okay. Don't keep on dreaming. You want your dream to come true, you have to get up, you see, to pursue that dream. If not, then you just keep on sleeping. So we are watchmen. We have to give warning to people that the judgment is coming. We are living in the end times. We are really living in the end times. Any moment the Lord can come and bring us back to heaven. Any moment. Okay? We don't know when. It can happen after this. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen next year. We don't know. Only God knows. But when it happens, it will be too late, you see. No more chance to share the gospel anymore. You know? Right. So how to stay awake? Jesus' instruction is watch and pray. Lest he enter into temptation. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But there's a solution. The solution is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the solution. Watch and pray so that we are not fall asleep easily. So in conclusion, I want to turn to three passages. One, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 5. Shall reading from verse 5. Okay. Let's read verse 5 to 9. Okay. Shall we all read together to show me that you're not sleeping? Right, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God tells us, don't sleep when it's not time to sleep. Okay, wake up. This is the time to wake up. Okay. Next, in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. We shall read verse 11 to verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay. So Again, God says, wake up, don't sleep. Now, if you are not a Christian, this verse is for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Okay. If you are not a Christian, listen very carefully to what God has to say. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. If you can, read with me. Wherefore he say, awake thou sleepers, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay? Now, the word of God say, arise from the dead. If you are not a child of God, do you know that you are dead? You know, you can say, how can I die? I'm here. What? I can hear you speaking. I can see you. Maybe I can go up and punch you in the face even for telling me that I'm dead. You know? But you are spiritually dead. You don't have God in you. You don't have life. Okay? You don't know the meaning of life. Okay? So God's word said, wake up. Don't let the devil lure you to sleep, the sleep of death. Maybe you say, I'm so young, how can I die? I won't die. I'm very healthy. We read in the papers, babies die, you know, in their sleep. Teenagers die in their sleep. Right? People play football, very healthy. They collapse and die on the field. Okay? Nobody is safe. You don't know when you're going to die. God knows. Okay? And God wants to save you. He wants to write your name in the book of life. He wants to give you eternal life. Okay? Will you wake up from your spiritual sleep and say, God, thank you that you brought me to church this morning and hear your word. I know you love me. I know you want to save me. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for me. I want to believe and accept Jesus as my Savior. You just pray in your heart and ask God to save you. If you believe what you pray and believe in your heart, you are safe. That's it. That's it. If you believe. Okay? It's so simple. You don't have to go and look for a pastor and say, how much do I need to pay if I want to know Jesus Christ? Salvation is free. God loves you and God wants to give you this salvation freely. You are here not because the teacher in charge asked you to come. Yes, maybe she did. You are here because God sends you here. To hear his word, to get saved. You may never get a chance again. Grab it. And tell God, thank you. I want to know you. If you want to know further, there are lots of lovely sisters around. You can go and ask any ladies. They will tell you the plan of salvation. So, beloved brethren, you've heard the word of God today. Okay? The decision is life. With you now. Okay? Whether you want to keep on sleeping or whether you want to awake and serve the Lord. Okay? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are thankful to thee for this opportunity that thou hast given unto us to come to thy house to worship thee in this land of ours. So, free without fear of being ridiculed or being persecuted. And yet thou knowest our heart. Thou knowest, Lord, maybe before we came, we dragged our feet here. We did not prepare ourselves to meet with thee, to worship thee. We are not so enthusiastic. Have mercy to forgive us of all these our sins, our lethargy, our lukewarmness. Revive us, Lord. Revive thy people. May thy spirit fall afresh upon them. Set them on their feet and put a song in their mouth and in their heart that they may go forth this day praising thee. We thank you, Lord, for thy grace. We thank you for thy strength. We thank you for providing all our needs in our Christian walk. So help us to stay awake, to warn the people of the coming judgment, to pray for all those who do not know thee. So Lord, keep us busy. Thank you. Pray for all thy servants in this church, for every member here, especially those, O Lord, who are still outside the kingdom. Let thou work in their hearts, speak to them, and save them for thy own honor and glory. We thank you and pray us all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you.